Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey, is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yep, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
Whoa, I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Get our best deals on iPhone 15 Pro at T-Mobile.com. One-year upgrade requires Go 5G Next plan, financing new qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
You know what comes to mind when I hear that? How James Harden and Daryl Morey used to be thick as thieves. They were BFFs. In fact, Daryl Morey gave James Harden everything he wanted for the first, what, 7-8 years he was in Houston? Even longer than that? Brought in guys that he wanted, got rid of guys he didn't want to play with anymore, and then ultimately sent him to Brooklyn. Didn't have to. Could have played hardball. Harden was being a punk, and so Daryl Morey finally caved. And because of that, preserved the relationship enough that when Morey went to Philadelphia, that's where Harden wanted to go to. And yet, somehow, that relationship has fractured so much that it's become acrimonious, and maybe, just maybe, Harden is no longer welcome there. Huh. Did you hear the latest? Oh my gosh, I sound like a gossip queen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning to you. Happy Friday. I barely made it, and no, I'm not exaggerating. Not that you need to worry about me. I'm here. I just don't know how coherent I am in every second of this show, but I'm here, and oh boy, do I have some amazing photos to share with you. That's after the show is done. Producer Jay is also here. It's our Friday. It's our payday. We are grateful, though I haven't checked my bank account yet. Maybe I shouldn't be so grateful until I know it's in there. But I hope that you have fun plans for the weekend. It is the last weekend of October. It is the last weekend of October. Are you kidding me? I have hiking plans with family and then pizza, hiking and pizza. And then on Saturday evening, taking my brother and Bob to a symphony concert, Jurassic Park. So the movie plays on a big screen and the score is played live. And that seems perfect for Halloween. That's my kind of scary. I know it's not a horror flick. It's not really a Halloween movie, but it's scary, or at least it was, the original Jurassic Park. Do you guys remember when you saw the original Jurassic Park? Oh, yeah, it was terrifying. And it's turned into a franchise, of course, but the original is still the OG. So I'm looking forward to that. My brother thinks we're going Thai shopping. Still, he's no clue what his surprise birthday present is. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to surprise him and for him to say, oh, how horribly wrong he was. So I know there are a lot of places around the country having this, not just last vestiges of summer, but really warm weather. We're supposed to have temps in the, like, near 80, upper 70s, near 80 again on Friday. I almost had to turn on the air condition yesterday. That was crazy. I've had the heat on very sparingly. The temp was set at 62, so a couple of nights it's come on. But yeah, yesterday it got up to 75 in the house, and I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to have to turn on the AC because Penny and I don't do well with the heat. But it cooled down, and it's just a really beautiful fall weather, just a little bit too warm for me. I'm ready for it to be down in the 40s again and 50s during the daytime. Don't yell at me. If you must. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We would love for you to vote for the After Hours game of the week. We just went through a few of the candidates through the eyes and the lens of defense. Going to be a lot of fun to see how some of these games play out. And now that we're into week eight, these are supposed to be teams, in many cases, these are supposed to be teams who are division title contenders, who are consistent, who are separating themselves maybe from the pack in the case of, say, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Jaguars. I love the battle in the AFC North. Bengals better win this weekend or they're going to be left behind, but the Niners don't want to drop three in a row. So, yeah, lots of implications. Take that poll, again, on Twitter or Facebook. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. We'll get to the Bills and the Bucks, who are also in, I don't call them battles yet, but they're also battling to try to pick up ground in their own divisions, each of them second place teams. So look, we always get geeked up about the battle of first place teams. How about a battle of second place teams? I mean, they both still have opportunities to catch the teams in front of them. So we'll get to the start of week eight coming up here momentarily. But while we're talking about hoops and Harden and the Sixers were on the road in Milwaukee for their home opener. Also, Damian Lillard's debut with the Milwaukee Bucks. But you know who wasn't there? James Harden. Do you know why he wasn't there? Not because he didn't want to be there, as the story goes. Now, I guess you have to be careful what you believe. But I've seen reports now that Harden showed up at the airport. Am I yelling? Harden showed Jay. Harden has made a funny face at me. Am I yelling? I'm very passionate about this.
No.
Okay. Harden showed up at the airport. You guys, I'm going to lower it. I don't really have an indoor voice, though. Ready to board the team plane. Only to be accosted might be too strong of a word, right? I don't think he was assaulted.
We don't know yet.
That's true. I guess we don't know for sure.
Details are still coming out.
We can neither confirm nor deny. But the report is that security stopped him from boarding the plane. How about that? Two can play this game. Harden took off without telling his coach or his teammates where he was going. As it turns out, he had a very legitimate reason for being away from the team. Taking care of his sick mama. That's understandable. Lots of people do that in every walk of life. That's what FMLA is for. Sick mamas come first, but he didn't tell his team. He just took off. So, do you think it's a little bit of gamesmanship that instead of telling James Harden directly, Nick Nurse, Joel Embiid, though it's not Joel's responsibility. That would be unprofessional. But how about Nick Nurse or Daryl Morey? Remember his former BFF? How about somebody tell him, oh, you can sit this trip out. You can stay home and work on your rehab. Work on your conditioning. Nope, nobody told him. He showed up at the airport. Now this is, again, Believe what you want to believe. There are reports out there, though, that he showed up for the team plane at the airport and was told by security that he would not be allowed on the plane. Wow, that's badass. I'm not a huge fan of James Harden, the way he conducts his business. I don't know anything about his personal life. But the way that he conducts his business life, and I don't like how he does his business. But man, do you think it's true? Security? Come on. Is that paybacks or a B-I-T-C-H?
Oh my gosh. I mean, if they wanted to reconcile this relationship at all, I don't think that was the way to do it. I mean, I see what you're saying where it's like, hey, you want to play that game? We could play that game too, but I don't see that improving the situation at all.
Now, again, the reports are not only that he showed up to go to Milwaukee for the trip, but that he intended to play. Weird, right? Because Nick Nurse was just telling us yesterday that they were working on the game plan. Wednesday. They were working on the game plan and that they really couldn't count on Harden. They had to go ahead and game plan because he hadn't been around.
They had said that he wasn't even sure if he was going to be there for the home opener Sunday night, I believe.
Right. And so here he is returning to the team, works out one day and somehow thinks he's going to get on the team plane and nobody bothered to tell him. Of course, maybe, just call me crazy, Jay. When you tell the entire world that your boss is a liar, maybe he's not so interested in communicating with you directly.
It might be grounds for, you know, something there, something to retaliation.
Wow. Could you imagine, though? That's humiliating. It'd be humiliating for most people, but humiliating for a guy like James Harden, who is former MVP, theoretically supposed to be one of the top players on the team. I'm air quotations.
Makes enough.
I mean, I just am stunned if that's actually what happened. Both of these are kind of crazy from each perspective, that Harden thought he was just going to show up and play, but also that the team didn't tell him.
Now, I guess we also need to know, did Harden communicate with anyone that he was showing up to the airport? Right?
Another good question. Another really good question. So I'm going to give you the source from CBS Sports, just so you know where it came from. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, we're not talking about a slouch here. We're talking about a Woj bomb. That the Clippers are no longer interested in negotiating for James Harden, but that also, I mean, they were the only team that was interested in pursuing him. So if that's the case, that they are not right now actively looking for him in a trade, well, then he needs to play for the Sixers or play none at all. But what if the Sixers have indicated now that they're not interested in having him play? Ruh-roh, he may have burned all the bridges. Not Mikal Bridges, but all the bridges. Jay, that's...
I could see that being like a strong arm attempt by the Clippers saying like, oh, we don't want him anyway. And then you get him for pennies on the dollar because it's just getting such a horrible situation in Philadelphia that they're just going to end up cutting ties no matter what. And you don't have to trade multiple first round picks for him.
Yeah. So on the heels of the Clippers not being interested, at least not in hot pursuit right now, Chris Haynes of Bleacher Report is the one that reports James tried to board the team flight on Wednesday. That's how he puts it. He tried to board the team flight on Wednesday, but was stopped by security and informed he wasn't traveling with the team. This comes from Chris Haynes. Harden was frustrated after he wasn't allowed on the plane, but he left the airport without any sort of altercation. Okay. Let's not make a scene. Oh my gosh, I would have made a scene.
I can't imagine that. That went over so smoothly.
I mean, no,
the
I'm sure it
reads
didn't.
That it did, but I can't
well,
imagine.
Well, no, only that he didn't. There was no scene, but he wasn't happy about not being allowed on the team plane. Do you think that Nick Nurse and Daryl Morey and the other players, Joel Embiid, his teammates, Tyrese Maxey, are looking out the window watching this happen?
I don't know. I couldn't imagine.
It's a charter flight, so it's only them on the flight. But do you think they're actually watching this play out on the tarmac? And James Harden is being stopped by security, not by his coach, not by the GM. Again, it's not on his teammates to tell him. One of his bosses should have told him if that was their intent. But as you point out, maybe they didn't expect him to show up.
That's what I'm thinking.
So maybe they told him to stay home or, you know, we're not taking you on this trip. And he shows up at the airport anyway. Except still, though, a security official would have had to be told ahead of time. Harden's not allowed on the plane.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's a player.
He's on the team. Yeah,
exactly. He is
on
the
some sort of list.
He is sort of on the team.
Yeah, right. He's getting paid by the team.
But wow.
Yeah, there'd have to be some sort of list saying don't allow James Harden on this flight, right?
Right. It's a no-fly list.
It's
a no-fly list on the Sixers charter.
And that's not just because he doesn't dunk anymore.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, here's Nick Nurse's response when he was asked about it after the game.
There was a report that he showed up for practice and that we determined that he should stay back for conditioning.
Doesn't say anything about the airport. Doesn't say anything about the plane. Just that he showed up for practice. And we told him he should stay back with the team. That makes no sense. It's almost like we took two halves of previous Nick Nurse comments and put them together. There was a report he showed up for practice, and we told him he should stay home and work on conditioning. All right, somebody's wrong. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong, or somebody's posturing. He sounded very uncomfortable. Oh, man.
I don't know if maybe they're just not communicating at all, and that's where this...
Well, okay, but if that's the case, you can't necessarily blame Nick Nurse or Daryl Morey.
Oh,
because James Harden took off. Now, do I think that they should be more professional than that? Yes, I do. You shouldn't be treating your players the same way that they treated you. That seems unprofessional. You're the leaders. You're supposed to set the tone and be bigger than that, better than that. But maybe they didn't know James was showing up since they'd already told him stay home.
I feel like the NBA needs to do something here. In terms, how can you just disallow a player who's on your roster on the flight?
How can you just disappear and not tell anyone where you're going for 10 days?
No, I get that too, but there's got to be some sort of, like, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for?
Repercussion?
Like, not repercussions,
consequence?
Like standard
protocols
for team travel and for, I don't know, you know what I'm saying?
You don't think a team can say to a player, we don't want you to come with us on this road trip, you're a distraction, this is not helpful?
But Harden didn't know that, so like they didn't tell him
maybe.
That.
We don't know that for sure.
Right.
They could have told him to stay home, and he just said, screw that, I'm going to Milwaukee.
Maybe. Maybe.
I want to see Dame's debut in Milwaukee.
I don't know. This whole thing.
Speaking of Dame's debut in Milwaukee, we'll get to it, but it was dynamic. It was dynamic and delectable Dame. It was the same Dame that we've seen for over a decade in Portland, but he's wearing green, which was kind of crazy. And he also had one hell of a night. Oh, what a night. What is
having
this?
To spend each day the
it's not easy being green.
Of the leaves.
Oh, dear.
When I think it might be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that.
It's not easy being green. What's wrong with us? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Dane to the top of the arc, moves to his right, puts up a tough three, and he drills it with the foul. Dame time. In the second quarter here from Fiserv Forum, he's got a chance at a four-point play on his first three-pointer as a Milwaukee Buck. 48-36, 5:20 to go now in the second quarter. Season opener for both teams. Lillard running downhill, puts up a tough shot, and Embiid trying to get in the way, but to no avail. Dame Lillard is cooking now. He's got 14 points after that make here in this opening half with still 5:14 to play in the second quarter.
It kind of feels like a road game, you know, right now. It's like I'm looking around like I'm the new guy, you know, even though I've been in this league a long time. But I, like I said, I came here to be a part of winning. And, you know, I think I've started to settle in, you know, just by how I've been embraced and, you know, what the team is saying to me behind closed doors.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wasting no time, one Damian Lillard. What more could we ask for in his Milwaukee debut? You're really picking up where he left off. He is one of the best shooters in the NBA, and he wants the ball in his hands. Now, he's going to have to share that ball with Giannis because Giannis has been the man and now has a new contract extension that lines him up with Dame's tenure in Milwaukee. So the two of them will have to figure it out. And Giannis did mention that after the game. He talked about the trust factor. We have to trust one another enough that we feed the guy who's got the hot hand. He has to know we're going to give the ball to him when he has the hot hand. And, oh, yeah, last night it was decidedly hot.
Lillard, step back three, on the way, got it!
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears... Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Welcome to the Cream City. Dame time has arrived with 107 to go.
One humongous step back triple, but it was one shot in a stretch of 11 consecutive points for Dame, as this was a back and forth down the stretch with the Sixers.
Now 4 seconds left. Embiid fires up the three. Missed it. Rebounded by Melton. Fires up a desperation three off the window. It goes. But thanks to two clutch free throws from the newest hero in Milwaukee, Damian Lillard, and the Bucks are winners tonight, 118 to 117. And Dame time has officially arrived here in the Cream City as the Bucks ride 39 points from Damian Lillard, who busts the door down.
I came in knowing what was expected of me, you know, when these type of situations came. And I've been in enough of those situations where I know it's probably not going to always be me making a shot or taking a shot. But, you know, they're encouraging me to be the person to take control and make decisions and, you know, decide what's going to happen in those moments. And that's what I'm here to do.
Welcome to Milwaukee. So far, it's pretty easy being green. If you are Damian Lillard, couldn't have asked for a better debut to year 12. Wow, that's crazy. But 39 points for him, including the final 11 in a row. And to me, this is a big deal. I think it speaks volumes of Giannis, although it is one game, so I don't want to overemphasize this. But Giannis has been the man there. Sure, there's been Chris Middleton, and he's a dirt dog, and they had Drew Holiday, who also was a leader and was accustomed to having the ball in his hands as the point guard and as a veteran. But Giannis is the guy that's been making the plays for Milwaukee. Over this stretch, since he got there, he's the one. He's the one that generally looked to make the big play. Now, oftentimes it's been a big dunk where someone's feeding him, or it's been a fast break where he's running the court. Maybe it's been an offensive rebound and a putback. They put him on the free throw line where he's tried to continue to get better at his free throw shooting. But he's been the man. Now he's got the man in terms of making late shots. And so the fact that Dame had the final 11 points, I think that's significant. His first game with Milwaukee. So is Giannis willing to let it play out that way every time? Or, you know, this Giannis dude, generally pretty good at collecting triple-doubles, scoring himself. It's going to be interesting. But I think if you're both motivated to win, that's usually what becomes the prevailing factor. That's how teams are built. That's how chemistry is built. I care more about the guy to my right, the guy to my left. I care more about our team goals than I do about my own individual accomplishments. Not always easy, especially for athletes at the highest level. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we had Milwaukee and Dame's debut. We also had the Lakers home opener hosting Kevin Durant. Oh, look, they're such good friends, LeBron and KD.
All right, here we go. 91-91. Crowd on its feet. 1:15 to go in the fourth. LeBron with it, top of the key. Fly into the rim, lays it up, and in! 93-91 Lakers. 1:05 to go in the fourth. LeBron driving down the middle to the rim, and in! LeBron's taking over the game! 95-91 Lakers. 41 seconds remaining. And what a fourth quarter for LA.
It definitely was that. And what a fourth quarter for LeBron as he starts year 21. He scores 10 of his 21 points in the fourth quarter. And this is notable, I think. played the entire fourth quarter. So, yes, we're getting some of these superstars on the court to start the season. NBA knows what it's doing with primetime games, nationally televised. Let's put our best feet forward. And so it's KD and it's LeBron. And, yeah, LeBron is accustomed to being the one who's got the ball in his hands, right? So it's a theme for Thursday night in the NBA.
I looked at the time and the score and what was going on in the game, and it was an easy answer for myself. I know how much, work I've put into to be able to play quarters or whatever the case may be, and I understand that we definitely have a system put in place, but tonight calls for me to try to go outside of the box today. And Coach Ham was cool with that. He said he still had three timeouts. He was able to use those wisely to get myself rest, get the team rest. And I felt very fresh going down the stretch, with not logging so many minutes beforehand, before the fourth quarter. So Coach trusted me, and I had to go out and prove it.
As he's won championships, just learning how to watch film and dissect the film, and you could just see that and hear that and his talk throughout the whole game. So there's always a battle playing against high IQ players like that.
What did LeBron tell us once? He has a high basketball IQ, the best player in the world. I feel like we haven't had LeBron drops in years. Goodness. But the NBA is back. So we've hit all the major storylines. I mean, there's more to come. But we talked about Wemby and Wemby fever in San Antonio. Luka, the ripe old age of 24 now with a triple-double. We also got the debut of the new-look Celtics with Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis and his 30 points in a big victory over the Knicks. We talked about the Lakers in year 21 with LeBron. That was the case even as they were going up against, was it the Warriors the other night that they were playing? No. The Nuggets, that's right. Denver returning as champions and their ring ceremony, and they honestly look about the same. And now Kevin Durant, they're trotting him all over the place, right? He starts at Golden State, then he's in Los Angeles. So we're getting what the NBA does best, which is showcase its superstars. If every league showcased its superstars like the NBA did, well, we'd be oversaturated.
I have a huge basketball IQ.
There we go. Thank you, Producer Jay, but also thank you, LeBron. If the powers that be at Major League Baseball knew how to showcase their superstars the same way that basketball does, I get that it's a different feel, but the NBA is brilliant at it. And so I'm excited to see more of Dame and Giannis. That's fun. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis, if he plays healthy, or stays healthy, and plays like that all season. LeBron will be a story because of his durability in year 21. Jay just said to me, is he 40 yet? And he is the oldest player in the league. He's the oldest player in the league, so he's now become the Tom Brady of the NBA. It's crazy to think about 21 years. 21 years.
And not two, not three, not four.
No, definitely not that. And he's still so good. We don't know about the James Harden situation. That one's still up in the air. Yeah, a lot of questions in these first few days of the NBA season. But it's not the start of the NFL season, and we still have questions about the Buffalo Bills, or I do. Are my expectations too high? Maybe that's the problem. I do have an issue with it. Sometimes I set my expectations too high for family and friends, and then I get disappointed when they don't meet them, right? Because I expect them to do what I would do, which is just, I know that's not right. So I am constantly challenging myself to not have super high expectations, or at least not to judge people based on my expectations. Maybe that's where I'm going wrong with the Buffalo Bills. Maybe my expectations are just too high for Josh Allen and this offense. I'll explain. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, what is the after-hours game of the week? Lots of you blowing up our Facebook page as well. We've given you four options that are kind of interesting matchups. They're not divisional battles. No, we got a fun mix in Week 8. And every team is playing, no buys, which is also odd.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Third and 11 here for Buffalo. Two receivers to the right. Diggs and Kincaid on the left. Murray in the backfield. Allen in the shotgun, going to roll out to his right. looking for somebody, throws it back across the middle, and Kincaid waltzes into the end zone for his first touchdown as a Buffalo Bill. 22 yards, Allen to Kincaid.
Second and goal just inside the five. Gabe Davis motions over tight to the right. Now they send Deontay Hardy in motion to the right. Allen back to throw, looking, pumps, throws. Wide open, Davis streaking in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Allen held it the extra second, and Davis got a ton of space in the back left corner of the end zone. And the Bills, with 10:40 to go in the third, take the opening drive of the second half and go up 23-10.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They did not go scoreless for the first three quarters of the game. They actually scored in the first half. The Buffalo Bills had an early 10-0 lead by the second quarter. Though I will point out, they also had an interception, a tipped ball, and they were stopped twice from the one-yard line against the Buccaneers. Two very good, very impressive defensive stops by the Buccaneers with the Bills on the one-yard line. So they marched all the way down there and came away with no points. So still a slower start, but at least they were able to score a couple of times and had a 24-10 lead early in the third quarter. Here's where I wonder about my expectations. They didn't score again. In fact, they kept giving the ball back to the Buccaneers, who also scuffled, but I would expect that from Tampa's offense. Should I start expecting that from the Bills as well? High expectations mean I believe in you, Buffalo. High expectations mean I believe in you, Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs, and Gabe Davis, and James Cook. They were over 100 yards rushing. They had plenty of opportunities, but they go through these long stretches where they're unproductive. And it's kind of tough when you put up your 24 points and then you watch your opponent come back and get within a score. And with under 3 minutes to play, you have the ball in your hands. You can run out the clock. And yet still had to punt it back so that the Buccaneers were the ones with the ball in their hands offensively as the time is winding down.
Mayfield back to pass, pocket collapsing, steps up, heaves it down the field. This is going to reach the end zone, and it's incomplete. Godwin turned around a little too late, but he was in the vicinity to make the catch. He did not, and the game is over.
And that ball.
Third week in a row, the game ends with the ball in the end zone. My goodness.
Chris Brown and company, Chris Brown and Eric Wood on Bills radio. Yeah, the fact is the Bills couldn't run out the clock when they had the opportunity. They just needed to keep the ball for 2 minutes and 44 seconds. And not even that much, really, right? You can kneel down if you get within enough time, and they were unable to do that. So they had to punt the ball back, and Baker Mayfield did have an opportunity for a Hail Mary attempt. Crazy, too, because Chris Godwin was in position. I mean, you're not really in position, but he was in the end zone and he turns and he's maybe a little disoriented, looking up, trying to find the football, but doesn't turn quickly enough. And the ball bounces right in front of him. I mean, had he reached out his hands, I don't know if he would have caught it. Cause again, he was turning late and had to find the ball that was sailing in at such a high angle because of the distance. And Baker had to throw it and chuck it up in the air as high as possible to try to get it to travel that far. And so as Chris looks around, the ball is coming down. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it almost looked like you got a hand on it, a finger on it, or at least reach one out there. So it was a close call for the Bills. I'm sure there were Bills Mafia who were gasping for breath. Forget belly flopping on tables, gasping for their last breath. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Josh had a rushing touchdown early on, looked good, was cutting through traffic, finding the afterburners, and then had two passing touchdowns, over 300 yards. Most importantly, the team is now 5-3 and on a short work week, able to get a win.
Everything that we want is still in front of us. So, again, you wish you were 8-0 at this point. You wish you were 7-1, you wish you were 6-2, and that's the reality of it is we're 5-3. But we're going to continue to take it one game at a time. And we got Sunday night next week against a really good Bengals team. So we got to be ready for them.
Ooh, Bengals playing on two Sunday nights. Isn't Bengals Niners a Sunday night game this week too? So I'm not sure if you all heard some of the audibles or some of the calls at the line that the Amazon Prime broadcast pointed out. One of them was LeBron James. Did you hear LeBron James? That was kind of fun. He actually, it wasn't just LeBron. It was LeBron James. You could hear it very clearly. But there was another one. I wonder, since the NFL is a copycat league, if we're going to start hearing this all over the NFL. Josh Allen's got a new call at the line. It's Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift. Oh, my gosh. Do you think it's a conspiracy? There are going to be conspiracy theories out there where now the NFL is commanding teams to incorporate Taylor Swift as much as possible.
Yeah, I don't think the NFL is mad that he did that. I'll say that.
Oh, my gosh. As for Baker Mayfield, there was a late touchdown drive that he engineered with the Bucs. It went 17 plays, 92 yards. Jordan Poyer was saying after the game he's got to do more conditioning because he was dying. So they do pull within 6 points, and they have the opportunity on that Hail Mary. Ultimately, though, two problems that keep rearing their ugly heads in this three-game losing skid for the Bucs. Number one is turnovers. Now, they didn't have any last. I don't think they had any last night. There was the interception for the Bills, but I don't think the Bucs had a turnover. Not one that I remember anyway. I'll look just to be sure. But they did have a ton of penalties, 11 of them last night. And so that was their issue. And the Bills punting did a good job pinning them so they would have long fields that they were staring at. But despite all of that, even though they've lost 4 of 5, Todd Bowles, Baker Mayfield, still just believing and chugging along, trying to find their groove.
My faith in these guys have never wavered. I'll take them anywhere. I'll take them down an alley. I'll fight with them any kind of way. I believe in them wholeheartedly. We believe in ourselves as a team, and we know we'll push forward and get better.
We're right there. We're right there. We're a few plays away from, you know, being where we want to be, so we just got to make sure when we come back to work that we make those plays and just fix our mistakes.
Losing 3 in a row sucks. There's no way around that.
He loves saying that these
days.
It's
just a feeling. So, but we showed fight tonight. That's the one thing that, you know, we can hang our hats on.
He is using the word sucks liberally these days.
I sucked today. We sucked today. It was awful.
Everybody sucked today. It just sucked. It all sucks. And then he throws in a word we had to bleep out just for good measure, just in case we didn't understand the sucks the first time. Yeah, there were no turnovers, so I got that part right. I didn't remember any. So that's good. They had a turnover-free game, but they did have 11 penalty flags, which is a big deal. Only got into the red zone once, so they're making life harder for themselves. But from the corrections department, Jay just tells me we're both, we missed it. The Bengals and Niners are not on Sunday night. I bet that's a nationally televised game, though.
4:25 Eastern.
Looking forward to that 1:25 Niners time. So Bengals, Niners this week. And then next week, Bengals are on Sunday Night Football with the Bills. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What is the After Hours game of the week? You can find the poll on either Twitter or Facebook. Some of you are throwing Pats and Dolphins into the mix. And I would agree. I do think that that's an important game for the Dolphins, number one, because of how they lost last week against the Eagles, but also because the Patriots made a big statement against the Bills. If not to Buffalo, if not for the division, if not for the playoffs, at least for themselves, at least for their fan base, at least to show what they're capable of. I'm sure it was a major confidence boost. Maybe the Patriots were hoping that Tyreek Hill would not be available. Remember, he missed some practice time because of a hip injury. Sorry, Patriots.
I just wanted some attention, man, because my mom wouldn't talk to me yesterday, so I needed some attention from somebody. No, I'm good, though.
You plan on playing on Sunday?
Yeah, baby, I'm good, baby.
That I needed some attention, so that's why I didn't practice and had a hip injury.
His mom wouldn't talk to him, who he just took a $100,000 fine for giving her the ball.
Yes, so his mom wouldn't talk to him, maybe because she doesn't like the fact that he missed practice, and so he needed some attention. My mom wouldn't talk to me yesterday.
I'd say giving the ball and taking that fine warrants some attention.
Seriously. All right, so Tyreek Hill is in for Patriots Dolphins. As we say, that's not one of the candidates for Game of the Week, but you can write it in. The Bengals were on a bye last week, so we didn't see them. Right now, they're in the basement of the AFC North. They're at 3-3, and they got to face the Seahawks defense this weekend.
They're really good. Their front is one of the best in the league. They play together. They play hard. They play fast. It's going to be a challenge.
I missed you, Joe Burrow. I also missed Mike Tomlin when they were on bye. So now the Steelers are back this weekend against the Jaguars. That, I think, is going to be a really interesting game. Really interesting. It's after
it's
hours.
A fight. It always is a fight.
Wait, what did he say about Etienne? He's a problematic. Is that what he said? Do you think this is the first time in his football career that Etienne has been called problematic? Just, I love Mike Tomlin.
He's been hot.
That's true. He definitely has been. Jags have won four in a row. Did you know, ooh, this is something that you can use to impress your friends at your Halloween party this weekend, Jay. I dare you to wear your ghost costume, or as I said to you, dress like a shower, like Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid. That'd be amazing. Jay may go as a ghost, though, which is so cheap. But anyway, maybe get a flowered sheet. Don't get a white sheet.
A flowered sheet? What can I pass that off as? A ghost who
loves flowers.
I guess.
Casper loves flowers. Anyway, this is something you can use to impress friends at your upcoming Halloween party. Sam Howell, most sacked QB in the NFL this season. Ouch.
The sack problem is definitely an issue, and we want to try to avoid that and try to, you know, limit those numbers. But at the same time, you know, I still want to go out there and play how I'm coached to play and still keep my eyes downfield and be able to locate those guys and not be too worried about the rush, you know, and let those guys up front do their job. So, yeah, there's definitely a balance of trying to avoid sacks but also trying to still play quarterback for sure.
Which comes first, the sack or the turnover? That is the question, because there have been some turnovers for sure. I don't know what's going to happen there in Washington. I have a bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling about this. Yeah, with the new ownership and them, usually new owners want to bring in their own people, or at least they evaluate for a bit and then they decide where they'd like to make changes. And what did Jonathan Allen tell us earlier this week? He's tired of this bleep. Yeah, there's a lot of fans and I would say probably people internally who are tired of this bleep. So, Commanders and Eagles this weekend. We'll see how often the Eagles can get to Sam Howell and make life miserable. I hope that your weekend is the opposite of miserable. But before you check out, will you please vote for the After Hours Game of the Week? And we are back with you on Sunday night to talk football and World Series Games 1 and 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.